A man and a woman were having dinner in one evening in a very expensive restaurant. The waiter came over to take their order, and as he came over, the man at the table turned white, and he began to slide off his chair, and he slid, disappearing under the table. The waiter said, "Excuse me, ma'am, but your husband just slid under the table." She said, "No, my husband just came through the door." In today's gospel, we have a similar situation of a woman that is committing adultery, and the Lord calls her on it, and she's converted and has a transformation and repents of her sin and changes her whole life because the Lord evangelized her. The Lord shared the good news of what he could do in her life. So it's a beautiful story called The Woman at the Well. It's a conversion story, the transformation of a soul. And it teaches us how to work with people, how to evangelize people. Take a look at this gospel from St. John. It occurs in the town of Samaria called Sychar. It's a place where Jacob's well had been built hundreds of years before. And the Lord was very tired. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And it was the hottest part of the day, 12 noon. The disciples had left to go into town to get some provisions, some food. And the Lord Jesus sat by Jacob's well. And it says, a woman of Samaria came. They always carried the large jars on their head. That's how they carried the jars in those days. And she approached. And of course, what's the first thing that's interesting is that she was by herself. And this is the time of the day when no regular person would gather, come to the well to get water. Nobody would come during the heat of the day. The woman always came early in the morning when it was cool. That was much easier to make that trip. Or they would come late in the afternoon or early in the evening. And the women would all come together as groups because it was a social time. It was a time when all the women of the village could socialize and talk. Why wasn't she there? Because she was a woman with a bad reputation and a bad name. And so she was an outcast. She was coming by herself during the heat of the day when she wouldn't run into anybody. And so the Lord sees her and says something extraordinary. "Give me a drink." And as St. John tells us, this woman was shocked because the Jews and Samaritans would not even speak with each other. For 800 years, they had been fighting between the Jews and Samaritans over political and theological reasons. And the Jews would never use anything that was used by a Samaritan, whether it be a cup or a utensil or the bucket to draw the water from the well. They would be considered ritually unclean if they touched something that was used by a Samaritan. But of course, the Lord didn't care about those man-made traditions that the Pharisees had added and these things. So he says, "Give me a drink." But notice, you'll see that not only does he want some water, I'm sure, to quench his thirst, but he wants her faith. He wants to develop her faith. He wants to develop her love. And he wants to give her God's grace. He wants to give her salvation and the Holy Spirit. So he's thirsting for her soul. He's thirsting first and foremost for her faith. And so she's shocked and says, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan and a woman, for a drink?" And then Jesus begins to unfold the faith to her. He says, "If you knew who was asking you, instead you would be asking him for living water." What is the living water? It's God's grace. It's the Holy Spirit. It's salvation. It's to quench your thirst for God. As St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in God." So this woman really, as everybody does, seeks happiness and seeks God in their heart. But she was, as you'll see, satisfying her hunger in other ways. And notice that it says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but I, Jesus, can give you living water, and you'll never be thirsty again." Well, she's such on a worldly, natural level, she's still thinking in natural terms and say, "Give me this water so I don't have to keep coming to this well." And Jesus says, "No, I'm going to give you supernatural life. I'm going to give you God's grace and salvation. And she calls him Sir. At this point, she only sees him as an ordinary man. But now the Lord realizes that she has something in her life that is keeping her back, and that is sin. And so the Lord very cleverly says, go call your husband and come back, and then we'll all talk. And what does she say? She uses what's called a mental reservation. She says, oh, I don't have a husband. I guess that's a true statement. But she was giving mental reservation. She was saying something that was true, but obviously was very misleading. But Jesus is God. He can read her soul. This is such a beautiful gospel because you see the humanity of Christ, tired, hungry, thirsty. But you see the divinity of Christ who reads her soul and says, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. And the man you're living with is not your husband. It's probably somebody else's husband. And so she gets, as we say in theology, busted. Okay, she's busted. It's a theological word. This means she got caught. And now she does what Bishop Sheen humorously says we all do when we don't want to really admit that what we've done is wrong. She changes the subject. And she begins to get into a tangent, a theological debate. I'm sure you've talked to people about the faith, and you might be talking about some topic, and then instead of talking about that, which might make them uncomfortable, they bring up something else. And so that's what she does. She does not want to admit her sin of what she's doing. Instead, she says, oh, you people say you have to worship on the mountain in Jerusalem. We worship on this mountain. So notice how she changes the subject and gets into a theological debate. Well, of course, the Lord is so caring for her soul that he reminds her that eventually people won't worship on any mountain. They'll worship in spirit and in truth. And that the one who is speaking to you is the Christ, is the Messiah. So he reveals who he is to her. And of course, now the apostles come back and they're amazed and shocked that he's talking to a woman. She runs off to get the other townspeople and tell them. And notice what she now says. Could he possibly be the Christ? So she goes from seeing Jesus as a mere man to then seeing that he might be a prophet because he can read her soul. And then she says, perhaps he is the Christ. So notice how Jesus reveals himself to her, and she has a transformation. Now she is evangelizing others, and she brings the whole town to meet the Lord and says, he's told me everything I've ever done, which is a little bit of an exaggeration, but she's so excited to have met the Messiah. And by the end of it, what does it say? All the townspeople said, we now know that this man is the Savior of the world. So what an amazing gospel we have of a woman who goes from seeing Jesus merely as a man, then to a prophet, then to the Messiah, and then to the Savior of the world. So I think what we should take from this during Lent is that we have to look into our own hearts. We should never rationalize sin. We should never trivialize sin. We need to see it for what it is, just as this woman that the Lord revealed her sin to her, realized what she was doing wrong. She obviously repented and changed her life. We, of course, go to confession, repent of our sins, and then we can receive this living water, which is God's grace and salvation that he wants to give us. Because again, every soul is thirsting for God. Every soul has a hungry heart, thirsting for God, but only God can fill that, as we see in this conversion of the woman from Samaria.